America in Mandarin。
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众，接下来请听这一小时的美国之音的简要新闻。今天是1月17日。加拿大环球邮报报道说，一名加拿大女性公民星期三在北京国际机场转机时被中国公安当局短暂拘留和恐吓。这名加拿大公民王天的父亲是在中国服刑15年的民主人士王炳章。加拿大环球邮报报道说，王天恩和年幼的女儿及丈夫在中国受到的对待，看来是中国因为加拿大应美国要求逮捕华为首席财务官孟晚舟而采取的最新的报复行为。中国一直在向加拿大施加压力，让华为公司创办人任正非的女儿孟晚舟返回中国。美国称孟晚舟参与诈骗一些国际银行，从而导致银行产生了违反美国制裁伊朗禁令的行为。王天安一家当时从韩国首都首尔返回加拿大多伦多，在北京国际机场转机时被6名登上飞机的中国警察拘留。希望在中国探视父亲的王天安上个星期在中国杭州被禁止入境，尽管他持有有效签证。中国海军一个编队星期四抵达马尼拉，开始中国军舰对菲律宾首都的首次访问，由2艘导弹护卫舰和1艘综合补给船组成的中国海军第30批亚丁湾护航编队，去年8月完成护航任务后，开始回程，并到沿途国家靠港访问。在中国海军编队停靠马尼拉港后的记者会上，菲律宾军方官员用了不到2分钟的时间发表简短的欢迎词，称中国海军这次访问表明两国政府和两国海军正在为加强双边关系继续做出努力，并通过海军外交增进地区和平稳定以及海上合作。紧接着，中国编队指挥员徐海华少将发言，他在将近10分钟的讲话中，除了感谢菲律宾海军之外，还感谢中国驻马尼拉大使馆以及中资公司领导以及华侨代表的接待。日本防务大臣岩屋义在华盛顿与美国国防代理部长沙纳汉为他举行的欢迎仪式上表示，日本将加快更新防卫架构，以大大快于以往的速度进行变革。他还表示，美日同盟关系是两国国家安全的基石。日本2018年12月制定的新防卫计划大纲增加了对太空等新领域的重视。台湾军队星期四1月17日举行了实弹演习，以显示自己有能力抵御中国大陆的威胁。在台中市的一个海滩上，演习模拟敌军登陆，陆军坦克、火箭车和攻击直升机向假象目标攻击。在新竹，幻想战斗机展示了紧急起飞的能力。台湾国防部发言人陈忠吉说，通过实弹军演，官兵们能一点一滴的积累作战经验，因此军方会不断举行这样的演习。美国联邦调查局逮捕了一名伊斯兰国组织同情者嫌疑人，这名嫌疑人被指策划使用反坦克火箭攻击白宫。联邦特工星期三在乔治亚州亚特兰大市附近卡明镇逮捕了21岁的塔赫布。塔赫布目前面临的联邦刑事指控是他试图使用火力或爆炸炸弹毁坏美国国家拥有的建筑。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音，这是从美国首都华盛顿为您播报的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点讲打电话约时间见面应当使用什么语言。首先请听电话采访。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your trip to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
What did you do after you checked into your hotel?
I called Mr. Epstein from my hotel room. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible.
Well, today, we're going to listen to your conversation with Mr. Epstein.
Okay.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein.
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
下面我们来听一些词句的变换说法。
May I help you?
How can I help you?
This is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
This is Charles Blake of International Robotics.
I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Could I please speak to Mike Epstein?
Just a minute and I'll put you through.
One moment, I'll connect you.
I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Mr. Blake of International Robotics would like to speak with you.
Elizabeth 采访 Blake 先生。
Mr. Blake, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Do you think the conversation went well?
Yes, I do. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible, and we were able to set up a meeting for the next day, Tuesday. I was looking forward to talking with him.
I see. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
文化点滴，这一节我们要回答的问题是，在打电话给一个大公司的时候，应该怎样和接电话的人沟通？
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
We have an interesting question today about using telephones in business. A listener writes, when I make a telephone call to a big company,What should I say to the person who answers the phone?
That is a very good question. At big companies, the people who answer the telephones are called receptionists. You have to tell the receptionist who you are and who you want to speak with. You may also have to give some information about the purpose of the call.
Could you explain that again?
Sure. Here are the three things you should do. First, be sure to identify yourself and the name of your company.Use the expression, this is. For example, when I call, I say, this is Gary Angleton from Culture Tips. Next, tell the receptionist who you want to speak to. The best way to say it is, I would like to speak to, and then the person's name.
That's not so difficult.
Then you can give some information about the purpose of your call. This is especially important if the person may not remember who you are. For example, you could say, I met him in Hong Kong last year, and he suggested I call when I came to town.
Yes, that makes sense.
One more tip. If the person called you first, be sure to say, I'm returning his call. That tells the receptionist that the person wants to talk to you.
What happens next?
After you give your information, the receptionist will put you on hold. That means that you have to wait while the receptionist tries to find the person. The receptionist will usually say, please hold, or one moment, please. While you are on hold, you may hear some music or just a period of silence. Don't hang up.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Weber Industries, may I help you?
Yes, this is Roberta Milton.
This is Sam Bliss speaking. How are you, Miss Milton?
Fine, and you?
Just fine, thank you.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible. What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Me too. Okay, in your office at 2:30 tomorrow, right?
Right. See you then.
See you tomorrow.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 今天要讲用什么样的语言表达方式提出建议。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make suggestions. In the business dialogue, Mr. Bliss asks Ms. Milton to suggest a day for their meeting. He asks her, when would be convenient? Listen to the conversation. Notice how Ms. Milton uses the expression, could we meet, to suggest a day for the meeting.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible.
Saying could we is one way to make a suggestion. Another good way to make a suggestion is to say, how about? Let's listen.
What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine.
You can also make a suggestion by mentioning a time and then asking, how does that sound? Listen to the conversation between Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake. Listen for the expression, how does that sound? Or, how's that sound?
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
本星期的第二课，我们重点讲解了在提建议时应当使用的客气语言。首先请听电话采访。这一课的嘉宾是先锋技术公司的 Michael Epstein 先生。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is speaking to us from his office in California. Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Today, we are going to listen to your phone conversation with Mr. Blake. He called you just after he arrived in San Francisco.
Yes, I remember.
Were you expecting Mr. Blake's call?
Yes, I was. I knew that he was arriving in San Francisco on Monday, June 10th. So I kept my schedule free for the following afternoon, Tuesday afternoon.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein?
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
Ah, that's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
词句代换。
How are you?
How have you been?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. And you?
When did you get into San Francisco?
When did you arrive in San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
I got here a few minutes ago.
我们继续采访 Epstein 先生。
Mr. Epstein, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Blake. You suggested that the two of you meet for lunch.
Yes, I thought it would be a good idea for us to get together in an informal setting. I wanted to fill him in on some of the details of our project to build a new factory. I didn't want to schedule a formal meeting until he had a chance to rest.
That was very considerate. How about the agenda? Did you go over the agenda?
Yes, of course.I confirmed with him the items he wanted to discuss at the meeting and how much time he needed.
Right.
Then we went for a nice drive around San Francisco. I dropped him off at his hotel and then returned to my office.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。这一节我们要讨论的是商务活动中的相互寒暄问候。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Well, today we have a very important email question about business culture.
What is it?
The question is, in a business telephone call, should you immediately begin talking about business?
That is a good question.Actually, in business phone calls, we rarely go directly to the main topic.
Really?
Before talking about business, we usually talk about a friendly topic. Talking about friendly topics is called small talk.
Can you give us an example?
Yes. When Mr. Epstein talks with Mr. Blake, he first asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Oh, I see.
It gives the conversation a friendly start.
What are some good topics for small talk?
Common small talk topics are weather, hobbies, and travel. These topics are usually very comfortable, but you should avoid talking about very personal topics.
I see.
Small talk helps people in business build better personal relationships. For example, if someone comes to town by airplane, you can ask, "How was your flight?" If they say their flight was terrible, you can say, "That's too bad," or "I'm sorry to hear that."And if their flight was good, you can say, "I'm glad to hear it." This shows that you're interested in personal feelings and not just business.
That's very interesting, Gary. Thank you again for your culture tips.
商务对话，一位年轻的商界人士打电话给另一家公司，约见该公司的生产部经理。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Bob Harmon.
Hello, Mr. Harmon. This is Henry Michaels of Stetson Industries.
Oh, hello, Henry. What can I do for you?
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week. I'd like to discuss our delivery schedule.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
That's good for me. What time?
How about 3 o'clock, at my office?
That's great.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 要给我们讲一些同对方约时间和地点见面的各种客气的说法。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today we'll look at some more ways to suggest the time and place for a meeting. First, let's review some expressions we discussed on our last show. One way to make a suggestion is to say, "How does that sound?" Let's listen.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
You can also use the expression, "How about?" Let's listen.
What time?
How about 3 o'clock, at my office?
A more formal and more polite way to make a suggestion is to use the expression, "I was wondering if." Listen to the following example from the business dialogue.
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week.
This is a difficult sentence, but it is a very polite way to make a suggestion. In Mr. Blake's conversation with Mr. Epstein, he uses a similar expression, "I was hoping that." Let's listen.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
Let's hear that again, more slowly. I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime. This is a very polite suggestion. We'll talk more about polite suggestions on our next show.
On today's program, I'll be talking again with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your phone conversation with Mr. Epstein. You arranged to meet him on Tuesday, June 11th.
Yes, that's right.
Let's listen again to that part of the conversation.
Okay.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
That's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
When shall we get together?
When shall we meet?
I'm free after 11 o'clock.
I'm not busy after 11.
How's that sound?
Is that good for you?
That sounds fine with me.
That sounds good.
接下来请听 Elizabeth 继续采访 Blake 先生。
Did Mr. Epstein meet you as planned?
Yes, he did. We had a very nice lunch in San Francisco, and then we went for a drive.
Did you discuss business?
Yes, we did. A little. Mr. Epstein wanted to explain some of the details of the project, about their plans to build a new factory. And he wanted to learn more about our industrial robots. As you know, we wanted to sell our robots to Advanced Technologies for use in their new factory.
Did you discuss other topics?
Well, yes. He told me that the new factory was scheduled for completion in October. So this October deadline was very important. He was also concerned about after-sales service.
Do you mean maintenance, repair, and so on?
That's right. They were concerned because our company is not based in the U.S. They wanted to be sure that we could provide good service in the United States.
I see. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
文化点滴
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
Okay.
We have a question today about making appointments. The question is, how should I suggest a meeting time?
Well, it depends on your relationship with the person you want to meet.
I'm not sure that I understand.
Well, if it's someone you know quite well, you can be very direct. For example, let's say you want to suggest a meeting time to a coworker, someone you've known for a long time. You can just say, "Let's meet tomorrow for lunch," or "How about tomorrow for lunch?" But even with friends, you shouldn't be too direct. Don't say, "I want to meet with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow."
Oh, I see.
But with someone you don't know well, or someone very important, it's better to be more general, more indirect. For example, you can say, "I was hoping that we could meet sometime in the next few days," or "Would it be possible for us to meet sometime tomorrow?" Very polite suggestions are often very long.
Isn't that rather vague? Very general?
Sometimes it's good to be vague. Vague means no definite time. That gives the other person a lot of freedom to suggest a good time.
What if the other person asks you what time you should meet?
Well, you can suggest a time. Or if you want to be very considerate, you can say, "What time is good for you?"
Very interesting and useful. Thanks again, Gary.
Let's
listen to today's business dialogue.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts.
Sure, Bob. That's fine. When is good for you?
How about 3 o'clock?
That sounds good. Where shall we meet?
I can come to your office. Or the conference room might be more comfortable.
Okay, let's meet in the conference room.
Great. See you then.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 要给我们再讲讲，在回答对方建议时可以使用的各种语句。
Now it's time for Gary's tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth.Today we'll look at some ways to respond to suggestions. There are many ways to show agreement in English. Words like okay, sure, fine, and so on. Let's listen to the first part of the business dialogue. Bob suggests that he and John meet that afternoon.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts.
Sure, Bob. That's fine.
John says, "Sure, that's fine," to accept Bob's suggestion. Then he politely asks John to suggest a meeting time. Let's listen.
When is good for you?
How about 3 o'clock?
That sounds good.
That sounds good is a good way to accept a meeting time. John asks Bob to suggest a place for the meeting.Let's listen.
Where shall we meet?
I can come to your office, or the conference room might be more comfortable.
Okay, let's meet in the conference room.
Bob suggests two places for the meeting, John's office or the conference room. John chooses the conference room by saying directly, "Okay, let's meet in the conference room."Now, let's listen to a conversation which does not go so smoothly.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon.
I'm sorry, but I'm busy all afternoon. Can we make it some other time?
The expression, "I'm sorry, but," is a polite way to refuse a suggestion. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
听众，接下来请听美国之音这一小时的简要新闻。特朗普政府高级官员星期三下午宣布，特朗普总统将在1月17号星期四下午星期四上午11点到11点半在美国国防部宣布2019年弹道防御评估。美国官员表示，这份评估从美国国家安全战略、美国国防战略以及美国核武器战略出发，评估自2010年以来对美国以及美国盟友会产生威胁的导弹与核武装的力量的发展，并且将检视哪些方面美国需要加以投资与加强，包括在空间使用激光拦截导弹的技术，以及如何与盟友伙伴进行合作。这份评估是应对特朗普总统在2017年1月27日签署的美国国家安全战略备忘录的内容。美国官员表示，俄罗斯与中国拥有非常庞大并且精锐的军火，而美国将持续以核武器能力来阻遏来自中俄两国可能的攻击。加拿大环球邮报报道说，一名加拿大女性公民星期三在北京国际机场转机时被中国公安当局短暂拘留和恐吓。加拿大公民王天的父亲是在中国已经服刑15年的民主人士王炳章。加拿大环球邮报的报道说，王天恩和年尾的女儿以及丈夫在中国受到的对待，看来是中国因为加拿大应美国的要求逮捕华为首席财务官孟晚舟而采取的最新报复行为。中国一直在向加拿大施加压力，让华为公司创办人任正非的女儿孟晚舟返回中国。美国称孟晚舟参与欺骗一些国际银行，从而导致银行产生了违反美国制裁伊朗禁令的行为。中国海军的一个编队星期四1月17日抵达马尼拉，开始中国军舰对菲律宾首都的首次访问。由两艘导弹护卫舰和一艘综合补给舰组成的中国海军第30批亚丁湾护航编队在去年8月完成护航任务后开始回程，并在沿途国家靠港访问。在中国海军编队停靠马尼拉港后的记者会上，菲律宾军方官员用了不到两分钟的时间发表简短欢迎词，称中国海军的这次访问表明两国政府和两国海军正在为加强双边关系继续做出努力，并通过海军外交增进地区的和平稳定以及海上合作。紧接着，中国海军编队指挥员许海华少将发表讲话，他在将近十分钟的讲话中，除了感谢菲律宾海军之外，还感谢中国驻马尼拉大使馆以及中资公司的领导以及华侨代表的接待。日本防卫大臣岩屋义在华盛顿和美国国防代理部长沙纳汉为他举行的欢迎仪式上表示，日本将加快更新防务构架，以大大快于以往的速度进行变革。他还表示，美日同盟关系是两国国家安全的基石。台湾军队星期四1月17日举行实弹演习，以显示自己有能力抵御中国大陆的威胁。在台中市的一个海滩上演习模拟敌军登陆，陆军坦克、火箭车和攻击直升机向假象目标攻击。在新竹，幻想战斗机、幻影战斗机展示了紧急起飞能力。台湾国防部发言人陈忠吉说，通过实弹军演，官兵们能一点一滴地积累作战经验，因此军方会不断举行这样的演习。美国联邦调查局逮捕了一名伊斯兰国组织同情者嫌疑人。这名嫌疑人被指策划使用反坦克火箭攻击白宫。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，这是从美国首都华盛顿为您播报的。谢谢您收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视1月16号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。中国法庭改判加拿大籍毒贩谢伦伯格死刑，引发了中加矛盾升级，进一步恶化了因孟晚舟事件而交恶的两国关系。加拿大总理特鲁多呢公开指责中国法院武断刑事，任意判决。中国外交部强势回应称，这种指责缺乏起码的法治精神，敦促加方尊重法治，尊重中国的司法主权。那么谢伦伯格在敏感时期被仓促改判死刑，是否严格依照律法，符合法律程序？如果因政治需要而做司法改判，这是法治精神还是外交报复？先有人质外交，现在呢又以改判死刑相要挟，极限施压能换回孟晚舟吗？我们今天的时事大家谈邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在纽约通过视频连线参加我们节目的是美国职业律师李进进。李律师您好。
你好。
那么在维吉尼亚州通过视频连线加入我们访谈的是纵览中国的主编陈奎德博士。陈博士您好。
你好，大家好。
好，我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时也欢迎听众观众朋友们通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论。我们的网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。本来我们是要请我们的这个我们当事人就是谢伦伯格的这个一位律师辩护律师呢他来参加我们今天的节目，但是呢由于这个种种原因吧，张东硕律师他不能今天呢参加我们的节目啊，我们现在呢只能通过这个连线只能通过这个来看一段呢张东硕律师先前接受美联社采访的一段视频。
2016年1月份不是这个大连中级法院就接受了这个案件吗？那个时候已经据他被抓差不多有这个一年多的时间了，那个时候其实要说公安机关的侦查已经很充分了，对吧？那就当时就可以把所有的事实都查清了，为什么又过了三年啊又不出才说才查到新的犯罪事实？这个也不太正常吧，是吧？所以一步一步就是所有的不正常，当然都是合法的，不正常加到一起，那最后是一死刑案件。那死刑案件的话，按理说你要充分的考虑啊，然后这个评判呐、是吧？然后最后出一个慎重决定，但是开完庭一个小时之后就判决了，这个也确实也不正常啊，但是都是合法的。
好的，那么通过张律师的介绍呢，我们得知啊，谢伦伯格因贩毒案，由去年的一审判决有期徒刑15年，仓促改判为死刑。我首先来请教纽约的李进进律师，您怎么看这次改判和死刑判决这两件事？改判符合程序吗？谢伦伯格他按律当死吗？
哎，你好，各位听众你们好，首先我要说一下，这是一个很严重的事件，很明显哈，这个事件反映出中国政府试图通过这个对谢伦伯格的死刑案件对加拿大进行报复，以及对西方国家进行警告。那么这是一个非常愚蠢的行为，特别是对加拿大来说，加拿大是一个废除死刑的国家，所以呢，我不管中国方面或者某些人刻意的去引用一两个人的讲话来表明支持谢伦伯格的这个判决，这个是很荒唐的事情，所以我认为呢，从政治上来看是非常愚蠢的，从法律上来说，这个事件，就改判事件显然是非法的，因为中国的法律规定是上诉后加刑的。这样一个基本规则，这也是中国当初1979年修改这个刑法的时候，遵从了世界各国的这样一种法律的案例和原则， 上诉的时候不加刑，这样才能鼓励人们，鼓励这些被判刑的人去上诉，否则的话呢，就难以纠正在一审当中可能发生的错误。你要是上诉加刑，大家都不敢上诉了。
嗯，
所以他这个是一个基本的法律原则。那么薛伦伯格他已经被判为15年，已经是已经判过一次了。那么他在上诉的过程当中，把他打回重审。那么法律规定，如果你要是发生了新的情况，那是应该把前面案子结束以后，再加上重新的，这个起诉，重新的另外一个法律程序，这才是合法的，对吧？这是他的一个很重要的一个法律问题。当然，就是说抗诉是例外，但我没听说的是抗诉。所谓抗诉，中国是抗诉了，和西方那个概念有点稍微有点不一样。那我们美国的法律，美加拿大法律，它不管是检控方或者是这个被告，他们在上诉上面都叫上诉，都叫 appeal， 没有另外一方说是抗诉，实际概念是一样，就是说如果是检控方来上诉的话，那么检控方那个叫抗诉。我们知道抗诉也是有时间限制，那你这个上诉了以后，就是说显然是当事人，就是被告上诉了，那比方说是一个月或者10天，中国是时间短一点，那么上诉以后，那你过了一段时间再来抗诉，本身来讲抗诉的时效都是有问题的。就具体的个法律概念，今天很遗憾没有听到他的这个律师，显然他律师受到很大的压力啊，今天不能出来。所以不管怎么说，上诉不加刑这个基本原则已经在中国政府那里被已经违背了，这是基本的一个事实。
好的，那么这个案件呢，我们发现呢，它争议最大的焦点是时间上的敏感性。改判呢，我们都知道是发生在华为高管孟晚舟被加拿大应美国的引渡要求扣押之后。我来请教维吉尼亚州的陈奎德博士，有人说即使改判合法，也不免呢有外交报复之嫌，况且像刚才我们这个李静静律师说的那样，改判呢未必合理。那您怎么看这件事？
对，刚才李静静律师已经谈到了法律上方面的问题，我想改判是非常不合理的。而且那个他的辩护律师张东硕先生，张东硕律师也专门指出，公诉机关补充起诉的事实仍然在旧有的犯罪事实之内，也就是说不存在新的所谓犯罪事实。但是突然在这个敏感的时间点，刚刚孟晚舟被逮捕以后，重新发回重审，而且很短的时间就当庭宣判死刑，从15年变为最高刑法死刑，这个事情显然是一个政治姿态，而且中共他故意要把这个政治姿态来大肆喧哗来做，是向加拿大政府施加压力。由从原来的所谓的人质外交，把这个嫌犯作为一个人质，现在加了一非常高的一步，叫死刑外交。我称为不光是刑外交，就是死刑外交。我就是要压制，或者是说威慑加拿大政府，同时要诉诸加拿大没有死刑这种名义，使得加拿大的民情对加拿大政府也要施加压力。他通过这样一个方式来企图来改回关于孟晚舟的命运等等，他是完全是一个政治考量，而且做得非常的明显。他是过去这些审判，包括他一次的15年，2018年11月份的这个审判，都是根本大家都不知道的，相当秘密的审判。这次大张旗鼓的，中国从来很少有这种做法。中国政府召集各方面外国记者，各方面都来看，就是向全世界宣布，他就是要把这个事情作为对加拿大政府的惩罚。而且注意，他是特别这次好几件事件都是直接针对加拿大政府的，本来是美国政府要求审引渡的，他是中国政府的做法，他是一贯的这样，是所谓欺软怕硬的。因为美国政府的量大，而且他现在正在有求于美国，正在谈判，所以他把所有的压力都加在加拿大政府身上。我想他这种政治企图和政治上的这样一种非常严重的这个对外国政府的威慑行为， 是不能被接受的，而且我相信他最后不会得到好的结果。
嗯，好。中国的刑事诉讼法规定说，第二审法院对被告人或者他的法定代理人、辩护人、近亲属上诉的这个案件呢，不得加重被告人的刑罚，就是我们刚才提到的，就是上诉不加刑的这样一个原则。所以呢，有人质疑说谢伦伯格改判死刑不公，但是中国方面的一些法律专家呢，认为对这条法条的解释啊是有限制的，不能一概而论。我来请教啊李进进律师，您对这个问题有什么评论呢？
我看昨天有下，正好看了看有关的这方面的评论，包括贺方他们那些法律的教授，他们也指出了法律的条款。那么他们讲的是说，你要如果发现了新的事实是可以改判，但是这个改判如果是在上诉的人，就是被告人被判处这个，就是说上诉的这些人，在一审当中，不服的呢，这些被告他们的上诉是在改判的话，那要等这个程序结束了以后，通过另外的程序再做，这是第一个程序要求，这是法律的要求。那么第二个来讲，抗诉是例外。所谓抗诉例外，就是说这个案子在这个案子，谢伦伯格已经判处15年以后，当时按照规定的时间之内，检察机关提出了抗诉。那么这点我们不清楚，就是他抗诉有多少时间限制，是吧？这个我看这个案子是当初是没有抗诉，所以说呢，我觉得这个事情，谢伦伯格改判的这个法律程序是不合法的。
嗯，那么大连市中级法院的声明是这样说的，他说谢伦伯格呢参与了有组织的国际贩毒活动，伙同他人走私200多公斤冰毒。那么根据中国刑法第347条说。走私、贩卖、运输、制造鸦片1000克以上海洛因，或者这个或者其他这个毒品呢，500克以上或者其他毒品数量大的，就可以处以15年有期徒刑、无期徒刑或者死刑。那么我来请教陈博士啊，改判看来显然呢是将谢伦伯格由最低惩处改为了最高惩处，法律外的政治考量。似乎是不言自明的吧，陈博士。
我想这个是的，因为根据张东硕律师的介绍，他看到的卷宗是根本不存在新的犯罪事实，所以这明显的是一个政治操作。而且刚才我们前面已经讲了，这个案子是2014年11月被捕开始立案，2016年3月首度搜索，2018年11月才经过了这么漫长的时间，将近四年的时间，才定为15年的，是说明这个案子本身并不容易定罪，而且这位就是说谢伦伯格在这个案子中间究竟处于什么位置？因为过去这个定为15年的，基本上大家看到的卷宗，他是并不是主犯的位置，而是他是协同，他是帮助隐瞒那个轮胎，把那个东西，他是买那个轮胎等等是隐藏的，也就是说他不是第一号主犯的性质。当时做出这个判决，我想还是而且没有大事伸张，是个正常的一个司法程序过程中间得到的。但是这么长的时间去通过了这么大的力量。得到了这个判决，突然因为孟晚舟事件，在几天之内很快就马上发回重审，而且马上有10天之内就开始安排了重审，非常快。比较全时间，大家注意是4年拖延，并没有提出新的犯罪事实，不存在新的犯罪事实。在这样的情况下，你要说突然把从个最低的惩处变为最高的惩处，这个毫无疑问非常明显，它就是一种政治审判，就是一种关于外交上的一种考量的一种威慑性的人质外交。最后而且打中加拿大大人的那个加拿大本身没有死刑判决，他故意要把它弄成死刑判决来威慑和伤害加拿大人的那个民心，使得他对政府施压等等，我想这都是他们非常清楚的一种政治考量的表现。
那么我们有一些网友以及中国大量的国内舆论都这样看，就是说呢，不管怎么说啊，判处这个加拿大毒贩呢死刑，啊是合法的，不管它合理不合理，但是是合法的。那么两位，我来请我们两位嘉宾呢对这个问题来做一个简短的评论。首先，李静静律师，
你好。首先我们把这个问题一个大的国际环境里面去看，这个整体上来讲，这几十年来第二次世界大战以后，对法各个国家对法治的这种改革以及和其老百姓的倾向是废除死刑。从这个角度来看呢，说赞扬这个，不论那个叙伦伯格到底犯了多少罪，赞扬他死刑的人是违背了这样一个基本的这个法治，当代人的法治这种基本的精神的。中国政府呢，其实是在响应国际的呼吁，减少了死刑。我们知道，中国政府呢是把死刑这个数字，每年的死刑的数字当做国家机密来看待的。你不知道中国每年是判处了多少死刑，这一点本身来讲是违背了这样一个世界各国所提倡的那种法治的精神的。如果你讲法治，你就要公布你的这个整个的判刑情况，每年的死刑判决的情况。那么在1979年以后，特别1983年严打以后，中国的法治哈是越来越严，判处死刑的人是越来越多。我们知道1983年严打的时候，中国当局呢是把死刑这个快速审理。那么死刑从他的一审判决到最高法最后核准了，这个时间只有10天的时间，1983年，或者到了90年代初的时候才把这个法律改过来。那么总体上来讲呢，中国的死刑每年呢大概有2000多人以上，是人们的估计，是世界各国的死刑之和，这个数字是非常严重的。那么中国当局在2013年新的刑法当中呢，为了这个呼应国际社会对中国关于死刑的批评，已经将死刑的这个条款降到了最低了，已经降了。那么刚才您读到了，说这主持人读到了，说中国法律规定多少多少克哈，500克以上的严重的就可以判处死刑等等。那么这个是唯一的，就是说保留的死刑当中这一部分一个条款。那么从这个国际大的环境上来看呢，实际上呢中国的这个做法违背了世界各国关于死刑的基本的规定和基本的精神，这是第一点。那么第二点，从中国法律上来讲呢，我们都知道，我们的40年以前学法律的时候讲得非常清楚，这个中国法律是反对死刑，也限制死刑，但还要使用死刑，它这是一个基本的规则。所以呢，这个死刑的使用啊，不能滥用的，这个也是中国法律是不能滥用死刑的。那么第三点来讲呢，这个判决的语言呢，是对加拿大的人呢是一种绝对的是一种刺激或者侮辱，或者是一种政治警告，是一种人质外交。为什么呢？因为加拿大是没有死刑，全面废止了死刑，所以任何国家的那个包括缓刑啊，包括这个引渡啊，所有的要求，它的前提条件，你这个国家如果有死刑，那么我们就这个就不予这个引渡的，就是加拿大的一个这个法律的背景。所以呢，他这个被中国政府很快速的，将这个谢伦伯格这个案子从15年的刑罚，判成这个无期徒刑，显然他是在玩这种政治游戏。当然我们可以预期哈，他在上诉的过程当中可能会到会予纠正，那么最高法院可能还是会纠正过来。我认为执行的可能性还是很少的。
好的，
这是一个方面的政治法律上面的问题。那么从法律程序上来讲呢，我听到了刚才你们介绍有关外交官员或者是评论员的一些问题，说多少多少死刑以后啊，多少多少冰毒毒和毒贩以后1000克以上的就可以判处15年，甚至严重判处死刑等等。这个和我们案子和谢伦伯格改判死刑是没有关系的案子，就是现在我们不论谢伦伯格他的原来的这个 贩毒量到底有多少与死刑是没有直接的关系。为什么？你一审已经判决了，上诉刑是不可以加刑的，你判错了或者判轻了那就判轻了。这就是上诉的意义，在于就是你保证不判错，一审当中不判错。但是你政府如果一审你本身就判刑了，你不能在原来的这个基础之上再去判刑。所以你现在今天去说天伦伯格判了多贩运了多少毒品和数量，他的事情多少严重，不是这个案件的实质，而是说你到底发现了什么新的案件，你在要求他重新审理的时候，你是否有新的证据，是符合法律程序，这是我们今天所要关注的事实。
好的，那么陈博士您有什么补充吗？
这一点我注意到中共官方包括外交部的发言人等等各方面回应国际社会的责难，有一个经常的说法，现在是说你不能干涉中国的司法内政，不能干涉中国的法治，你们还加拿大你自称是法治国家，你蔑视法治等等。我这里就想到非常可笑的是，中国政府现在堂而皇之的把法治来作为他自己的护身符。而大家知道，在2017年1月14号，中国的最高法院院长周强先生宣称，要坚决抵制西方的宪政民主、三权分立、司法独立等错误的思潮的影响。大家知道，他是明确的、坚决的要抵制、否定西方的司法独立。法治社会，大家知道，司法独立是法治社会的非常非常关键的一环，是最重要的要素之一。他中国官方的最高法院院长坚决要抵制司法独立，你这个国家还能称什么法治国家、法治社会？这是开玩笑的笑话。而现在中国的外交部发言人专门提到，所谓他是遵守了法治的，这个真是弥天大谎。而且前几天他的最高法院院长才刚好说了这种话，我想这点是非常清楚的一个事实，他是根本完全无法无天的非法治社会。
加拿大总理特鲁多呢，他指责中国武断行事、任意判决，并且发布和修改这个去中国旅行的警告。我来请教李律师，您如何评论特鲁多的指责？
我们特鲁多这回应该很好的接受这一次教训了，应该明确的知道这个中方的这种做法呢是一种流氓的做法。那么他警告这个加拿大的人到中国去旅行这件事情上来看，他是做对的，但是做得很晚了。基本上来讲呢，现在加拿大政府、特伦多政府原来的本来是跟中国政府比较友好的，是吧？还各方面进行合作的。如果这样做法呢，那么已经告诉了，就是中国政府就告诉了加拿大这个政府，那么这个他这么想怎么做就怎么做。那现在的这个特伦多政府哈就明白了中国的这个行为，那么他们和美国会更加紧密的站在一起，然后其他西方国家包括英国，特别是英国，还有这个其他的西方国家，法国，他们都会，德国都会来联合起来，从意识形态、从政治上来讲，就会联合起来对付中国。中国做法，我们开始就说它是愚蠢，就愚蠢在这里。你对于加拿大的一个公民判处，违反法治的原则的情况下判处死刑，那么本身来讲就激怒了世界各国的这样西方国家，所以中国政府的愚蠢在这个地方。那么我们可以另外，我昨天考虑一个问题，如果加拿大政府和美国方面的合作就把孟晚舟换掉了，把谢伦伯格换回来，这也是一种很好的一种一个方法，也是一个很好出招。你就看中国政府怎么接招，你不要问孟晚舟，孟晚舟换给你，但是你换不换谢伦伯格？如果中国政府从外交角度来说把这个刑法改判了，那么正好就证明了中国政府是拿谢伦伯格做人质。所以这一招呢，我们可以 真的是加拿大政府和美国政府可以试一试。
今天时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了，时间关系不能一一播出网友们所有的评论并回答网友们所有的问题。我们感谢李静静律师和陈奎德博士参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明晚时事大家谈节目呢关注热点话题，陕西官场惹怒习近平，赵正永落马背后有什么秘辛。好，欢迎收听收看，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。